Before I begin the sermon that I wrote, I would like to say that if I did have one more day to write this sermon, I would definitely have paid a little bit more homage to the Santa Fe High School shooting, and as a teacher, how much it affects myself and my other educators that I work with. What I'm about to preach today probably could save a life. In a million years, I never thought that I would be at a pulpit preaching to a congregation. Not because I never thought I would want to, but when you grow up in a Jewish Long Island home, your options are certainly a little skewed. Me being at the pulpit is also fairly ironic, because I do have someone in my family whose original aspiration was to be at the pulpit, and that's my father. My father told me years ago that when he was a young boy, he was enamored with his rabbi, and he always wanted to be a rabbi. In a way, my father did fulfill his dream of being in a pulpit, except his version of a pulpit involves an office boardroom and advising people how to work their financial lives. He also uses his pulpit to preach to people about how to obtain their goals and admirations in life and in their professional lives. He has also rayed his excellent knowledge of everything onto me, or I think. Being a motivational speaker, he has also been guiding me in making sure that I make the best decisions possible in my life so I could be the most successful version of myself. I remember when I was a sophomore in high school, I went to my dad's office in the corner of our house, and I had to tell him what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I went into this office and I was definitely nervous, but if you take a step back a couple of days late before that, my father mentioned to me that I should really start digging into this and start thinking about what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. So of course I go to the people who are most important to me, my band director, my choir director, and my closest friends. All of them advised me to follow my dreams and follow my passion, which at the time was to be a music teacher. So let's fast forward a week or so. I go into my father's office with the huge executive desk, the large computer, the CEO office chair. You kind of get the image. And I tell him that I want to be a music teacher and follow my passion. Expecting some pushback, I braced for the, you won't be able to make a lot of money in education, or the, I don't think that's the best choice. On the contrary, his words were something along the lines of, sounds good to me. Let's do it. From that moment on, it was a military mission to make sure that Andrew got into the best school of music possible. This began a long road of college research, preparing and practicing to try and get better, and figuring out how I was going to be successful. This mission wasn't just my father and I had my sister, my mother, my cat. Everyone was pretty much behind me. This road to being a music educator is not a very straightforward and smooth story. I auditioned at many schools and actually got denied from several. I got into a few that I couldn't afford. I remember the turmoil of not being able to go to my number one choice, Colorado at Boulder, because I was not eligible for scholarship because my 3.6 GPA wasn't high enough. That hurt. But alas, I got into my number two choice and got scholarship money to George Mason University, where I probably got the best education that I could have received. Even at a fantastic institution such as George Mason, I still had a lot of self-doubt in my career choice. I went through a short phase in college where I thought I would finish my undergrad and go directly to law school. Well, if you know me, and you know me pretty well, you know that a lot of my thinking is very logical, cut, and dry. I also love to argue, especially with those that from Verizon or someone who gives me a product, but it's not what I expected. In my house of three roommates, which were all music educators, we call it kerpering somebody. Anyway, I was advised by someone who is now very far removed from my life to take the LSAT. And I did, and I actually didn't do that bad. So who does Andrew go to for advice? His father. When I told him about my law school thoughts, he quickly shot it down and said that I was put on this earth to do one thing, and that was to teach music. He said the day that I walked into his office my sophomore year of high school was the day he wasn't going to let my dream die. That was the final push that I needed from my dad to get the job done. If it weren't for the everlasting support from my family, my friends, and everyone else, I don't think I'd be standing here today. Writing this sermon, I was certainly challenged to write something that would relate to Unitarian Universalism. Being a bar mitzvah Jewish boy from Long Island, I really don't know what I wanted to preach about. I know my life isn't super interesting. I teach general music K-6. I have this job. I have a lovely fiance. I have a cat. And that's as bad as it goes. But the best part is my fiance, because she's right here. However, I remember a very early on conversation I had with Reverend Wayne about the religion that most similarly resembles Unitarian Universalism is actually Reform Judaism. It's because Reform Judaism is very relaxed, it's not very in-depth Hebrew, there's a lot of guitar, there's a lot of band, there's a lot of youth service, a lot of different things happen. But also, if you kind of look at Judaism, our bylaws, if you want to say, are the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, if you take them and you put them on a T-chart next to Unitarian Universalist's seven principles, they're pretty similar. Especially the third principle. The third principle of UU Church states, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. Now in the UU world, you can broaden this to so many levels, and trust me, I'll discuss that later. Choosing to preach about the third principle was the easiest choice about writing this whole sermon. In fact, it resonates so much with my past and has come to be a more relevant piece of how I am today. The largest realization I had while diving into the principles of UU is, like I said, how closely related we are to Judaism. We speak of the third principle as being a guiding mission to become more spiritually aware and involved in one's congregations. In Judaism, one does this by having a bar or bat mitzvah. Who does not know what a bar or bat mitzvah is? It's okay. Good, I could skip that part. Basically, when a boy becomes a man or a girl becomes a woman, it's a very spiritual journey in which there's an abundance of studying, practicing, and overall just work. And I don't know another 13-year-old that, I don't know a lot of 13-year-olds that would be able to do something like that. I don't know if you do. The process of learning all the different Talmuds, Aliyahs, and Haftor portions can take a year or more. It's so much more. I mean, you have school, and for me, I had school, baseball, lacrosse, golf, and studying for school. And does anyone know a 13-year-old that can manage their life in a year and a half to make sure that they accomplish all those goals? Because I surely was not capable of doing that. In fact, if I didn't have the push from my parents and my grandparents to keep tradition in my household, I probably would have just gotten to the door of my Hebrew school teacher and turned around. There are also a less religious and more life-appropriate connections to the third principle. My first connection I made was actually the most obvious connect because I didn't just ramble for two pages about my father. The support I've gotten to better myself and my passion has been fueled by a few things: my family, my utmost desire to fulfill my dream, and others' utmost desire for me to fulfill my dream. When I walked into my dad's office that day and expected to hear rejection, I heard motivation. When I stumbled in college with sight singing and other classes, my friends carried me. My family accepting that I have a passion for music and a desire to spread the best in music for everyone to hear isn't a miracle. It's morally correct. Upon starting my journey here at UUCS, the first thing I noticed about this congregation was the importance of community within us all. In fact, one of my first duties of being the choir director was planning and preparing the funeral service for Clarice Duwogie. Now, I wouldn't have admitted this at the time, but in all honesty, I felt weary in preparing and attending a funeral service for a woman I never had the privilege to meet. But when I arrived at UU Fairfax for the service, I was overwhelmed by the openness, and community that illuminated through everyone in the room, including myself. I felt as though I had been here all along and that Clarice was a part of my life, as much as she was a part of theirs. Excuse me. We all know and understand this takes a village to create this kind of community atmosphere, and there is no responsibility that is needed to create a successful and fulfilling congregation. In relation to the third principle, I believe that we hold that principle most important to us. I notice simply by coming to church every Sunday that there is always some sort of committee or some sort of meeting that is taking place that leads to a greater congregation. We are always volunteering our time to make sure this place is like our second home. On top of it all, I always see others encouraging others to join committees or this study group or whatever is happening. What I think is also fantastic is that we encourage others to work on committees and support the congregation, but we know our limits. When I first arrived here, I had a goal to have a choir of 20 members. Choir, you can laugh. I knew it was a highly unlikely goal, but I knew if I didn't make a goal, I wouldn't be bettering myself or anyone in the congregation. I approached many of the people here today to join choir and received the same answer. I'm on this committee. I'm on the board. I'm doing this. Blah, 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 blah. No offense. And you know what? But wait, that's okay. Because even though you are interested, aren't that interested in joining choir, and I understand, you are still spiritually supporting and encouraging us to get better. And that's all the motivation we need to keep coming and singing on Sunday mornings. Also, new risers and choir folders wouldn't hurt, I'm just saying. Thank you. I mean, it wasn't worth a try, right? On becoming more familiar with our congregation's history, I've discovered that being the choir director isn't just a job or a member of the congregation. Rather, it's probably one of the most important jobs in this congregation's history. As Reverend Wayne preached back in August, I learned that the choir members, including Clarice Duogie, were the founders of this congregation and helped create what we have today. As heartbreaking and strenuous as this might have been for them, they each supported each other to create what has been such a blessing for us to be a part of. For some of you, if you haven't thought of this, think of the amount of support it must have taken in order to create this congregation. We are all familiar with, I hope, with what keeps this church running. It's the countless hours of volunteering, hours of meetings, rehearsals, emails, money, etc. I've certainly have borne witness to the amount of time it takes for someone to do their job here. When I talked to Reverend Wayne every Tuesday at 5 p.m. on our weekly phone meeting, I thought that I did a lot of work that week, and then I talked to him, and he's done five times the amount of work that I've done. And I'm like, good gosh, man. But then I look at people like Rosalie, and Nancy, and Mary, and Bonnie, and Mark, and Mark, and Steve, and Emily, and Sharon, and Denise, and Paul, Shelley, and now Jeff. All of the members of the choir pull so much weight into this congregation because they love it. And they know that being in this choir is more than just sitting in the choir loft, going to rehearsal, and listening to me try to get them to sing the right note. However, when one of them doesn't come to choir because there is an important meeting, or they're stuck at work because they're making sure that the planes are landing safely, or that, the CIA is making sure they're doing all their work, or maybe Steve discovered some planet that has corgis and collars and they all speak Latin, and like, he's doing that, and that's fine. Or he's working on his like 30th book, I don't know. You understand my rant. However, this isn't some sneaky tactic of mine for you to join choir, which meets every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and is changing next church year, but it is because you are all part of the choir, because you all are a part of this congregation. If you are a member, you are birthed from a choir that left a congregation where they weren't spiritually supported and knew they needed change. You are a part of that whether you want to be or not. The third principle follows you each day to encourage others around you to make this our home and a better place for yourself, your children, and your children's children. And whether you're on the board, or you're in this committee, or you're in this committee, just make sure you support the person next to you in their decision to choose their path. I want you to think of something in closing. Maybe instead of using the word congregation for the third principle, why don't we use something else, like life, classroom, school? For me, I substituted congregation for passion. Just like in my life, I had a passion for music education and for family. I'm sure some of you right now could probably think of a few ways how you can translate the principle into your own life, because every sermon I've ever witnessed, and I've seen a lot, has always left people to question how the pastor's topic relates to themselves. And I firmly believe that everyone takes something from a sermon, and it isn't the same thing. Just like Hebrew proverbs, Bible passages, anything, everything can be translated a different way to people. I believe we all have our own translation of the third principle. Maybe it doesn't relate to you like it relates to me, and that's okay. What I encourage you to do is take this principle, and don't just let it hang dry in UUCS. Take this to your life, to your children, to your parents, and support and encourage their endeavors and visions. Everyone needs to be supported and reminded that they have a small militia of people behind them at all times to be ready and encourage them. Remember, it's not just for us. Amen.